During Robert Brogdon's Olathe Buick GMC clearance event, save up to 20% on new models like the 2023 Buick Encore GX or GMC Sierra 1500. View their huge inventory at robertbrogdon.com and find your perfect match.
Good morning, Kansas City. This is the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate it. Wednesday, April 17, 2024. We'll have Mike Boddicker in studio today. Matt Derrick from ChiefsDigest.com. Jared Sutton, our basketball insider, NBA scout for the New Orleans Pelicans, college basketball insider, co-host of the House of Hustle basketball podcast with me, will be recording a new episode today after this show, and our guest will be former Mizzou and former Arkansas and former St. John's head basketball coach Mike Anderson. And so that should be a lot of fun. I look forward. It's been a minute since I've had a chance to talk with Mike Anderson. And so looking very forward to talking to Coach A after this show's over. And hopefully that episode of House of Hustle, brought to you by Charlie Hustle, will be available tomorrow. So that'll be some good basketball talk with Jared Sutton and Mike Anderson.
I think throughout my career, I always did appreciate and I patronize all the people there in Columbia.
Miss him, appreciate him. Times like these when I miss Mike Anderson the most. So there you go. So we'll have all that today on the show. Between now and 10 o'clock, you heard some highlights from the NBA play-in games that took place. You can listen to all the NBA playoff action right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB as the playoffs start to ramp up. You happy, Jake, with what happened last night?
I would like to see Golden State win. But, you know, you mean the Lakers?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's hard to root for the Lakers for me. Has been since LeBron joined the team.
Yeah, has been for my whole life. So.
Well, there you go.
Welcome.
Yeah. So I'm kind of, you know.
Well, we root for the Pelicans around here, buddy.
Absolutely, you do.
All right. To make sure you understand where your bread is buttered.
I do.
I don't see any Lakers scouts coming on this show.
No, bad twist for them with Zion having to leave the game.
Yeah.
He was tearing it up. I mean, he was...
He had 40 and 11, so... Yeah. They'd have probably won that game, so...
Probably so.
Yeah. Well, the Lakers beat the Pelicans 110 to 106 in a battle of the 7th and 8th place teams in the West, and then the battle between the 9th and the 10th place teams, the Warriors... got beat down by the Kings 118-94. So,
got to enjoy some hot takes at the end of that game from Reggie Miller.
Oh, did you like that? We'll get to that in a minute.
Yeah.
For right now, Nate would like to take this opportunity to explain the playing format to all the NBA fans out there. Go.
So, I don't really fully get the format.
Why did you tell Jake you wanted to do that?
I don't remember saying that, but...
Well, I heard it.
That's not that hard.
Right. Talk through it. You represent the average fan out there that maybe isn't locked in on this. From your vantage point, from your perspective, what's this format look like to you? Take a whiff. That's what we do here.
It's like...
We're just talking.
Four teams in the East, four teams in the West.
Go on.
And... I don't really know.
No?
I don't know. They
7, 8, 9, 10 seeds.
So then.
So 7 plays 8.
Will you let him?
It's like 7 plays 8.
This was not called Jake explains the format. This is called Nate explains the format.
I think he's doing a hell of a job.
I don't like it at all.
He's got it better than me. I'm just.
I know he does.
Whatever he says. Seven plays eight.
That's what we advertise around here.
And then what? The loser of the 7-8 game plays the winner of the 8-9 game.
There you go.
So we get Kings Pelicans.
Well, not completely. The winner of the 9-10
game. 9-10 game. Mm-hmm. Sorry, that's what I meant. So since the Pelicans lost, they got to play the Kings who won.
Correct.
Pelicans and Kings on Friday.
So the Lakers were the 8th seed. The Pelicans were the 7th seed. The Lakers beat the 8th seed. Mm-hmm. So they move into the 7th slot, and they'll take on the Nuggets.
And so and by winning, the Lakers have to play the Nuggets in the first round.
Right, yeah, and they're off till Saturday. But now since the Pelicans lost, they have another one-and-done game with the Kings.
On Friday.
To take on Oklahoma City.
So of those four teams, those four teams that played last night, the Pelicans, the Lakers, the Kings, and the Warriors, how many advance?
So far, just the Lakers.
But then how many more? Like how many do not make it out of this?
Well, the only team that's eliminated right now is the Warriors.
Right.
Out of those four.
But then Friday.
Then one other team will get eliminated, and one team will advance to the actual playoffs.
There we go. This counts as the playoffs. I mean, you know.
Yeah.
I think.
I think they, you know, leagues are really particular about their branding on stuff like this. I think they actually call it the play-in series. Is that
it's the SoFi play-in series.
Yeah, so they're not calling it playoffs. They're calling it play-in.
Yeah.
Go Nuggets. Beat the living crap out of the Lakers.
Go Michael Porter Jr.
That's right.
Christian Brown.
I saw an interesting video of Michael Porter Jr.
What was it?
We don't need to get into it. I'll share it with you two guys. Is it doing an interview? Talking about some weird people in the NBA. Doing some weird stuff.
Okay. No need to elaborate there until I check that word.
Yeah, right.
All right, let's... You brought it up. I was going to save it for later. But you know what? Sometimes around the show, later never happens. And so let's get into it. You mentioned some unique analysis. I sent this to you last night. This was at the end of the Lakers-Pelicans game. This is Reggie Miller as a color analyst on the broadcast. And this is... This is very interesting, I would say. This is a very unique take. And so...
And I'm not going to say he's wrong.
I'm
just saying his point is... Well, let me get into it.
Okay, listen, this is the situation, okay? The Lakers are up 108 to 106. Right? So they're up two. With 2.7 seconds left in the game.
That's right.
And the Lakers are at the free throw line to shoot two. They are up two with 2.7 seconds left in the game.
That's right.
Shooting two. Let's listen to Reggie Miller paint the picture of this situation for us.
Here's things that you talk about on the bus as players. If he makes the first one, you're up three. Do you try to purposely miss the second one, knowing that they don't have any timeout?
No timeout.
And they've got to go coast to coast, because as soon as you miss it, time is going to start as soon as it's touched. Or do you just make them both, be up four, and game over? These are things that are discussed as teams.
Lakers in six for Benny, his Lakers lead by two.
That is not discussed by teams.
It might be discussed on the bus with the players.
Then whoever discusses that, you should tell them you can never be in a game with 2.7 seconds left if you're discussing this. Look, I get it. We're wrong a bunch.
Yeah.
Okay?
Me probably more than anybody.
Reggie Miller played a lot of games.
A whole lot.
In his life. Played a lot of big playoff games in the NBA. What is this man talking about? 2.7 seconds left, up two. Make both free throws and you're up four, game over. And then everyone on the team can basically just lay down on the court.
What?
If you're the Lakers, make both free throws and just lay down in a fetal position on the court. And allow the Pelicans to inbounds the ball, fire up a three. Go ahead. Take a three. Guess what happens? Time expires. Even if they make it over. With no resistance, don't do anything. Make both free throws and literally drop trow and take a dump on the floor and you win.
That might be a foul. I don't know.
And that doesn't matter.
That's flagrant.
Just don't do anything.
It's a flagrant two.
Flagrant one or this.
Don't do anything. Go to the locker room. Leave the floor. Just leave the game. Go sit down in a courtside seat. Drink a beer. Don't do any. Do whatever you want. Why would he's telling you? Well, you make the first one and then miss the second one on purpose. Well, then you're at least leaving the door open for a miracle.
The
guy grabs it and just fires it.
The clock starts.
Right.
You've seen guys hit mid-court
right.
shots in the NBA.
You're leaving the door open for a miracle.
I feel like he was. He was
you feel like what?
He was trying to talk. Like
I don't.
At some point in time, he kind of lost track of what was happening.
Oh, really?
And then he started.
Oh, really?
These are the things that we discussed. And then he kind of played it out, and it's like, well.
Like, hey, Reggie, no one discusses that.
Yeah, none. No.
What are you talking about,
if they do,
Reggie?
It's a short discussion. Right. Everyone goes, like, nope, that's a dumb idea.
Don't do that. That's a discussion. Hey, what about
like,
you
when
this
I
guy?
Saw that, before I said that, Jazz, and now hold on here. Let me think through this.
Are you missing something?
Is there something I'm missing here? Is there a scenario I'm missing? No. You make both of them and just, okay.
Yeah.
You do the Mark Mangino. Okay, well, good night.
Yeah. Which is what they did.
Just put your hands down.
You're crazy.
I'm out of here. There's no debate on what you do.
Okay, well, good night.
That's it. That's all. So, I got a kick out of that. I mean, what is he... What on... And he's a fine analyst. What on earth is this man talking about?
Yeah, he got that one wrong.
Just make them both.
Anthony Davis opted for that option.
That's the best option.
Make them both. Game over.
You know, that's an example of just outthinking yourself or whatever.
That happens. Yeah.
All right, here's the deal. Make them both. You're up four. 2.7 seconds left. Just sit on the floor. All right? Turn around, face the crowd, wave at people. Don't do anything.
Yeah.
Whatever. Or miss that second one and leave the door open for some possible miracle shot.
The clock starts to start.
Oh, great. Okay.
You know.
Okay. Well, good night.
I would love to sit Kevin Harlan down and get an honest, like, what were you thinking when Reggie's...
Oh, you know who I wish was sitting next to him and was listening to it? It was Mike DeCourcy.
What are you talking about?
Mike DeCourcy gets so effing mad at what he considers ridiculous end-game strategy that's suggested. Come on!
Now, wait a second, Nate. Come on.
I wish somehow. Hey, just called DeCourcy. Hey, Mike, walk us through this one. What do you think of this?
Wait a second, Nate. Come on.
Wait a second, Reggie. Yeah. Come on.
You want him to miss the second free throw? Oh, come on, Reggie.
You got a chance to make it a two possession game.
What are you talking about? You know.
Wait a second, Nate. Come on.
I wonder if there's, like, I you know there's people out there, oh, that's a good point, huh? Maybe. What? Hey, you're depending on this guy to be the expert analyst, so.
Well, if you're in Kevin's shoes, too, you don't want to, like, make the guy look bad.
No,
you know.
But you know there's
you
people that you got confused,
yeah.
Like, what?
Yeah.
What's he?
Kevin's like,
hold
they
on.
They do not have a timeout.
Yeah, I know.
What do you mean?
Go on.
Either
that part of your statement is true.
We're gonna get
either
this.
Scenario is unlikely, right, for something wild to happen. But I tell you what makes it impossible is you just make the second free throw.
Yeah, right. One, there's 0% chance. The other one, there's a percent chance. Not very high, but
I like this Reggie Miller.
I do too. I actually, that's like one of my. That's a great broadcast team.
Yeah,
Harlan and Miller.
They do a great job.
But, not so much on that one.
No.
I think it was great.
I want to know more about conversations they have on these NBA buses.
That's what I'm saying. We don't know that he's wrong.
All right. Hey, I got an idea, Reggie. We're up two, let's foul.
Exactly. Exactly how high were you guys on the bus when you were talking about this?
Hey, man, check this idea out. What if you missed a free throw?
So. That's all.
We just discussed things like maybe if you just missed a free throw, then you give yourself a chance at offensive rebound to get 2 points.
Well, there's a situation that calls for that.
Right.
Not that one.
Tie game. No?
We'll have Mike Bodick. Royals got rained out, by the way.
Yeah.
Stupid rain. Doubleheader today.
Let's go.
Two games today. Jake, this could be a get right day for you. Back to back. That could be something special, no?
Of course it could.
How have you been doing? Have the Royals been kind to you? Have you been...
I don't put a whole lot of action on baseball.
I feel like you need to start following my lead of Cole Reagan's over on strikeouts, whatever the number is.
I'm on it next game.
You know?
Next start he has, I'm on it.
And Cole Reagan's offers a lot of opportunity for victory. Not for the Royals, apparently, because they give him no run support and they're 1-3 in the starts, but victory for us. So. He likes to strike people out, is the point.
Well, I mean,
he's good at it.
Singer's going in the first game. He's got a sub-1 ERA. Maybe look at the runs given up by him over under.
Man, isn't it? We were talking about that last night when. Julia had a track meet, and we were talking about, we didn't know the game was going to be rained out. My buddy Sam said, who's pitching tonight? I said, Singer. He goes, stud, we got to win. Well, at least look how different this is.
Right.
Singer, you know, going into the season, considered the fourth starter, and he's pitching like an ace. Lugo pitching like an ace. Reagan's pitching like an ace. Waka and Marsh have been very solid. Would have been aces last year. In that rotation. So, different world, baby.
I feel in terms of covering the Royals, I did it right. Walked away. Walked away 2 years ago. Didn't have to live through the misery that you guys did for the last two summers.
Honestly, it just wasn't... they were... They just weren't relevant.
Yeah, just not even they weren't in the atmosphere. You know?
I'm not trying to be funny here, but this happened like last year's 106 losses, like right smack dab in the middle of the Chiefs winning back-to-back championships. It was like, we can talk about this, but let's take a look at the draft. The draft being here.
Right.
Right? Yeah. And free agency.
Yep.
And, here comes OTAs. There was every little story.
Oh, phase one story?
Right. Oh, this is fantastic. Whatever the Royals, I don't know. But here's phase one of the offseason.
Right.
Now, the Royals have stolen back headlines, but, you know, it wasn't too easy. I mean, it wasn't too hard to just ignore.
Right.
Because of the euphoria. Not the euphoria on HBO. That's a whole different kind of high.
Still haven't seen that.
Well, let me tell you something. Whenever you do... We're going to have to sit down and have a long 45-minute discussion.
Kind
I can promise you that.
Too.
You should be. You should be.
I start having flashbacks or something.
It's scarred. Susan and I were scarred by it, yet we kept watching it. And we will watch it again, even though one of our favorite actors from the series tragically passed away. Angus Cloud, who was wonderful on that series. I'm still sad about that. He played Fez.
I love Zendaya's in that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, she's fantastic.
Who else is in it?
The girl from White Lotus.
I actually know this one.
Sweeney.
And I'm gonna,
Sweeney.
I'm going to make him.
Sweeney.
What's your first name?
Boobs.
Boobs Sweeney?
The
I
name
don't think
is Sydney
right.
Sweeney. She's fantastic. She's fantastic. We went to see the, the rom-com with her and Glenn Powell.
Yeah.
And for Valentine's Day,
Good.
Because Susan loves her some Glenn Powell, who was in the Top Gun sequel. And if you remember,
very handsome.
I had a wonderful interview with Glenn Powell at the Super Bowl. The Chiefs beat the 49ers the first time down in Miami. And I interviewed him and took some pictures with him. And then that was when Susan became enamored with him. And so, and then they delayed the release of Top Gun for a long time. And then when it came, I go, look, hey, remember this interview? And then Glenn Powell has now kind of become he's on the cusp of becoming the next big star. He's in the Twister remake that's coming out. That they're making. I don't know. I mean, I can't tell you it's going to be good or not. You just give me a.
I don't know how to feel about that.
Well, I don't know how you should
feel
about it either.
Twister.
Right, and you might like this one. Who knows? I don't know. I just tell you he's in it. I'm not giving you the same. I've seen nothing.
Plural.
Yeah, Twisters. Well, it's the second one. It can't be the same, you know. but anyway, Jacob Elordi, who I can't stand. Because he gave the worst performance of Elvis I've ever seen in my life in the movie Priscilla. And so there's a lot of things that Euphoria offers, all right? Good and bad to me. But the euphoria of the Chiefs winning the Super Bowl and everything going on with it, because there had been a little bit of a break since their previous one. You know, when the Royals lose 106 games smack dab in the middle of back-to-back championships, It's not too difficult just to ignore. So we didn't have to go. It didn't feel like we, at least for me, it didn't feel like we really went through anything. It's like, yeah, well,
yeah.
Not going to talk about them the rest of the summer. You know.
Yep.
Who's that? What's that free agent list again? Who's visiting? What's that mock draft look like again? This year we'll talk about them every day.
Well,
you know, cause, yeah. And also it's an exciting brand of baseball. It's a team that features stars on the rise, young, exciting talent, fun to watch, easy to root for. What a turnaround in 1 year.
Well, there was also, you know, the three college football teams. Everybody was excited about those seasons going into last year. There was enough other stuff.
Eli Drinkwitz.
But there was enough other stuff that it was kind of easy just to say, nah, out of sight, out of mind a little bit.
Lance Leipold.
Leipold doing a decent job. So
my good friend Lance Leipold.
I know. You're texting, buddy.
That's condescending. You know, a condescending way to describe our friendship. We're not just texting buddies.
They're hanging buddies.
Yeah. Hanging buddies. Right. That's right. Your friend.
I like that man very much.
I know what you're doing. I get it.
I'm not doing anything.
Yes, you are.
You're
of course
always
you are.
I'm not
you're
doing
always.
Anything.
You're always doing something.
I'm not
buddy.
Doing anything.
Uh-huh. You're not doing anything. You're doing something when you're not doing something.
We didn't
something.
Talk about you at all at the George Brett tribute.
Uh-huh. I'm sure you said all kinds of nice things about me to him.
You were mentioned.
Uh-huh.
You were mentioned. Hey, just be glad you were mentioned.
Yeah.
You can said I'd be glad
sure.
I was mentioned.
It means you're relevant in the conversation.
Yeah.
You can be not mentioned at all. You know?
It's true.
Hey, Nate would be here. He's out doing some soccer thing.
Lance had a couple of chuckles about it, you know?
Yep.
I might have said something like that. Chris Klieman. I mean, three great football coaches, it appears, right now.
Yeah.
All operating at the height of their powers. Let's go. Yeah. See? Yeah. A lot of things to be excited about. So, no, don't feel bad about us the last couple of years. We had this football thing going on.
Yeah, I get it.
But now just add one more thing to it with the Royals being good and fun.
That's exactly right. Double header. And again, look at this example. Brady Singer and Michael Wacha, your pitchers for the double header. Like, okay.
Fancy a
sign
sweep.
Me up.
The top three starters for the Royals all have sub-2 ERAs right now.
Bragger. Mike Boddicker will talk about that with us coming up. Personal note. How about this? I said a track meet. Went to the Park Hill South Freshman Invitational yesterday, and my daughter Julia just took up long jumping this year, and she's been thrust into action in she's varsity, and so she's taking her lumps, running the 100 and a couple of relays and doing the long jump varsity all season long, and so this was only her second JV level meet. And so it was the Park Hill South Freshman Invitational. It was at Park Hill High School, which was right down the street from the house. My dad was there. His wife was there. Our buddy Sam was there. Everyone, Richie made it in time to see her jump, and her eyes lit up because her brother doesn't always get a chance to make it out there to see her because of his work schedule. And I think there was, what, 12, 13, 14 schools there. This little girl finished second place in the long jump. How about that? And beat her personal record twice. I was so stinking proud of her. She doesn't show happy emotions too often, but when they read her distance, she was very excited. And so that was a great, great moment for my daughter. And for her, when we waited around, but then we had to go to Phil's birthday dinner. And boy, oh boy, there were some scary times there because I got a text from my buddy Sam Silvio, who, of course, owns M. Chalmers. And he said, power's out.
Uh-oh.
I will text you back and let you know if we get it back on in time for tonight's service. I'm like, oh, Phil's been fasting and getting ready for this. And then I got the text, we're good to go. And then Phil put on a show. And then we found out after dinner that she finished second. We got all the results in. So
amazing.
Unbelievable.
Way to go.
Wonderful night. That's right. Way to go, Julia. Way to go, Phil, who ate every single meat that they offered and the grilled pineapple. And you're talking about double digits. Ate every meat that they offered at least twice. Every one of them. Including the lamb, which was delicious, he said. So, and that was his 21st birthday dinner. Great night last night. No Royals. They'll be back at it tonight, hopefully, weather permitting, twice. Didn't look like there's any rain in the forecast. So go Royals. We'll take a break back after this on WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. We now welcome Mike Boddicker in studio. He's got me looking up Twisters now. Glenn Powell's in it. More attorneys in it. She's good. I'm watching her in American Rust right now. Why don't you want to see Twisters? I don't get it. I feel like that's a show we go see together.
I have fatigue of remakes and do-overs. I just am so tired of them just redoing movies that were real good.
Does nobody have any original ideas anymore?
No.
Like, you know, we're just...
No. They don't.
I will admit, I'm kind of
saturated
by the Fall Guy. Is that? Do we think that's
okay?
Be
so,
good?
So here's the deal.
That was a TV show.
But here's the deal. When I watched the trailer for that, I got super excited.
Because
I do like it when they remake some of the TV shows that I love, just to see what they'll do. And it looked like it had just they took the name of the TV show and just. Really nothing else.
Right. It doesn't.
Yeah.
Nothing else. Yeah. And that pissed me off. See, like, what are you calling the Fall Guy for? Now, then I've read from people that have already seen it that say it's a fantastic action movie. But that if you're going to use the Fall Guy, then I need Colt Seavers. I need Howie. You know, I mean, Lee Majors sang his own theme music. To the Fall Guy. And that was a great TV show. And so I was hoping to see something like that. Not going to happen, but apparently this is a good movie. But I just don't like... Why are you calling the Fall Guy? It's not the Fall Guy. Well, you used to watch this?
Go ahead.
Lee Majors. Man Among Men.
$6 Million Man.
$6 Million Man.
That's right. So fine.
He whipped someone's ass in this thing, didn't be in a movie.
Yep. Him and Chuck Norris.
Right. These guys don't appreciate Lee Majors.
Yeah.
They didn't wear a red jumpsuit while watching $60 Million Man with a $69 Million Man action figure that if you look behind his head, you could see through his bionic eye. And it offered you worse sight through the toy, but still. And if you rub a little rubber sleeve on his forearm, you roll it up, he said, oh, look, It's bionic. And then you got the other action figure of Sasquatch, played by Andre the Giant in the TV show.
Big man.
I even had the, I don't know why I've said this before, I had the action figure of his boss, Oscar Goldman, that came with a briefcase and, like, the little files in it.
Oh, wow.
Like, what do you do? Like, how's that work out for, like, a, you know, 8-year-old kid? But here I am with a suit and a briefcase.
I tell you what, your childhood was interesting.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
These action figures were great. Raquel Welch. Hey, hey, an open drawbridge, or Tarzan from a vine, because I'm the unknown stuntman that makes Eastwood look so fine. See?
You got
getting me going.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you, Jay.
You are fired up.
You're fired up.
No, I'm not fired up. I'm disappointed. Royals.
Oh. You're disappointed to be here. But,
no, the Royals didn't play last night. I was excited to watch.
But you get a double dose of baseball with Brady Singer and Michael Wacha on the mound.
Yeah, that's good. That's good stuff.
See,
How about our division? Everybody's like 11 and something or 10 and something. I'm going, what's going on here?
Here's what I wanted to talk to you about first. And we will get to the bourbon raffle, which is obviously tonight to last night. You buy tickets.
Oh, yes.
Boddickerfoundation.org.
Yeah,
but if I might, Jake, can we play the clip I sent you of the full clip of George Brett?
Yes.
Whitey Herzog passed away.
Yep.
And let me tell you, I have vivid memories of, if you're young, you're not going to remember, so just look it up. Today's a great day to look at Royals history. When the Royals lost those brutal playoff series to the Yankees, Whitey Herzog was the manager.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember Whitey Herzog took a lot of heat for especially the way the 1977 series ended. Again, I'm not going to go through it. Just go look it up. And how he handled the pitching staff. Whatever. Royals should have won that series. Game 5 was a heartbreaking loss. Awful. Terrible. Still remember how my grandfather reacted. But to fast forward then, you know, leaving the Royals and going to the Cardinals, watching him win a championship with the Cardinals, and then ultimately the showdown in 85 when Dick Houser was the manager for the Royals and Whitey Herzog was the manager for the Cardinals. There was such anger and hard feelings. My grandfather, Danny Ontiveros, his best friend was named JoJo, and JoJo lived in St. Louis. And JoJo would come to town a couple times a year. We'd go to see JoJo a couple times a year. And let me tell you something. These old-time best friends were at each other's throats during the I-70 series.
Really?
Back and forth. You know, and my grandpa viciously attacking Whitey Herzog, JoJo defending him, Whitey left for the best team in Missouri. You know, just all this going back and forth. And you might go, oh, you got the arch. And they're going, so much anger and accusations and finger pointing, right? And Whitey was in the middle of it. But I mean, look, Whitey Herzog, I mean, just think about it, in this state, for the success he had with the Royals and the success he had with the St. Louis Cardinals, one of the most iconic baseball figures.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, in baseball, but just in the state of Missouri, right? And just for the memories that he was a part of, good and bad, for both sides. And George Brett, you know, he played some of his best years for Whitey Herzog and some of the most exciting baseball we'll ever see in this town when Whitey Herzog was a manager. Here's George Brett talking about the passing of Whitey Herzog. First, here's Lee Majors singing a tribute to Whitey Herzog, and now here's George Brett with some words about Whitey Herzog.
Sad news in the world of baseball, and it applies to a Royals great, because Whitey Herzog, certainly known most for Whitey Ball and managing the St. Louis Cardinals, but he managed with the Royals first, actually became a manager with Texas, then the California Angels, and then spent 1975 to 79 with the Royals, and then 1980 to 1990 with the Cardinals. He was 92 years old, one of the greats, one of the great storytellers, and I had a chance to visit just a little while ago with George Brett for his reflections, because Whitey Herzog was George's second ever manager in the big leagues.
George, thanks for spending some time with us, and I know that you knew Whitey so well and in multiple halls of fame with him. What are your thoughts on the great, late now, Whitey Herzog?
Oh, I never realized he was 92 years old, Joel. I thought he was a little younger than that, but I got a call from his daughter, Debbie, about 3 or 4 days ago telling me that he wasn't doing well. He was in the hospital. And I did get a chance the next day to FaceTime with him, and he was a little confused, but I did tell him one of my favorite stories about him, and I said, I called him Stein when I was talking to him, and he started laughing, and I said, you remember what that was about, Whitey? And sure enough, when he came over to manage us, he always had a flat top, and then he let his hair grow 1 year, and I think it was Al Cowens or somebody started calling him Stein because his hair looked like Frankenstein. But one day he came up and he said, I know why you guys call me Stein. It's because I manage like Einstein. About 4 days later, we told him the truth, and he had a flat top 2 weeks later, or 2 days later. But I had a special relationship with him. Yeah, I don't know how many people Debbie called to let him know that Whitey was on his last leg. And I got a chance to talk to him when he was in the hospital. And then I got the news today, and I called Debbie back and got a chance to visit with Mary Lou for about 10 or 15 minutes. She sounded great. And just a wonderful life that he lived, and a baseball fanatic. And the one thing, he was 92 years old, but I tell you, he could tell you things that happened in 1950, 1960, like it was yesterday. But a great baseball man, a great friend, and I'm going to miss him.
Mike Boddicker.
He was the one guy I wanted to play for.
Whitey Ball.
I love Whitey Herzog. I love the way he dealt with his players. Everybody loved him, and he won. And that was the one guy. If I could go back and play for somebody, it would be Whitey Herzog.
Why? Like what? Every
player that ever played for him loved the man, loved playing for him, and they. Everybody knew how to win that ever played for him. That was all it's about is how much fun it is and winning games. And he did. It seemed like it, no matter where he was.
And I remember, because, look, hey, my grandfather loved Whitey Herzog when he was here with the Royals. He loved
him. Oh, he's a funny man, too, if you ever got to meet him and talk to him a little bit.
But, you know, but they had those like devastating losses in 76, yeah. 77, and 78. He took a lot of heat for them, especially in 77. But then the Royals finally get to the World Series in 1980 with Jim Fry as the manager. But then 81, the strike. And then 82 comes along, and Whitey Herzog, after all those devastating losses in the playoffs, wins a World Series with the Cardinals.
Yeah.
And I mean, that, you have to understand, that was like,
knife to the heart.
And my grandpa's heart, like, are you kidding me? We couldn't get over the hump with those great Royals teams, goes to St. Louis, wins in 82, and it's in St. Louis right there. And my grandpa's made Joe joke, he just needed a real team to win the World Series. And my grandpa's like, you may throw the phone. You know, think about how you jack with your friends, right?
Mm-hmm.
And my grandpa, I remember he threw the phone down. You wonder where I get it from. There it is. There you go. Right? But then that led to how, and that's one of the things that not enough people talk about. That was one of the reasons why it was so glorious in 85. Because then finally the Royals won the World Series. And not only did they finally win the World Series, it was against St. Louis, and it was against Whitey.
Aren't you glad we didn't have instant replay back then?
Well, he was safe. Great call. You know what I mean? No, but that, those little things, you could sit down and talk to your dad about that. Be curious what he would have to say. Because, like, everyone loved Whitey Herzog.
Yeah.
Everyone loved Whitey Ball. Everyone loved the way the Royals mm-hmm. played. But then it was like, then you I think it was more that, like, a lot of Royals fans were hurt to see him win in St. Louis. But then it was so glorious to beat him in the World Series. But then when you look at it as a whole, like you said, what a great manager.
He was a great manager.
What a great...
And everybody who played for him and ended up becoming managers or coaches, you could tell that they were under Whitey. They you know, Jamie Quirk was one guy I thought would have been a great manager. I mean, he played for La Russa, Whitey. I mean, he was a guy that he knew the game. And you could tell the guys that played for Whitey became great managers and coaches.
There's a picture that I found on online that my grandpa used to have up in the basement of Whitey Herzog. This is a black and white picture of him in the in his Royals uniform. My grandpa had up in that up in the bar. That's a picture they used everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Of, you know, Whitey Herzog, Royals manager. I just when I see that, like,
no flat top there.
Oh, but it just makes it makes me think. You know, it's such a great.
It's memories.
Yeah,
it's memories.
I just think back to being a little kid sitting in my grandpa's bar in his basement, and the picture of Whitey Herzog up there, mm-hmm. and him having a couple drinks and commiserating about you know what happened in 77? You know, there. No, boy.
It's like all the
here
guys, you know, that I got to play for Earl Weaver. There's guys that would say, I would have died to play for Earl. Just the
you loved
antics.
It.
Yeah. I mean, his antics and his thought process was, he was always three innings ahead of everybody else in the game. You can tell. Those are the guys that you're going, wow. You know, those guys know how to manage.
There's some great Whitey Herzog quotes. Maybe I can give some of those when we come back.
All right, we'll do that.
Such a good character.
Oh, yeah. And just a great representation of just an awesome time of baseball.
He was a big part of Kansas City.
In this town.
You know what? Appreciate him.
That's exactly right. We'll be right back after this on WHB.